The only way to be absolutely beyond challenge, to never have to consider the possibility that you're wrong, is to kill all your opponents. We shouldn't want that, it seems to me. Certainty is not what we should aim at. But certainty was what Luther was aiming at. He really, I mean, this impatience with his opponents, this notion that they have no right to be saying what they're saying, that flows out of this sense that you've got to be basing this all on certainty. If your opponent is wrong, and you're telling the truth and they've got it wrong, well, then you just argue with them. You say, you know, I don't think that's true. But if you're certain, right, and it's obvious, it's clear what's true, and your opponent doesn't get it, then your opponent's being stupid or dishonest or speaking for the devil. This focuses especially, this concern for certainty, focuses especially on interpretation of Scripture. You have to base theology, right, the teaching of the faith, on a clear text of Scripture, what later is called a proof text. Right? Protestants love to talk about a clear text of Scripture, which means you can be certain of what it means. Not just certain that God will keep his promises. Seems to me that that is something that every Protestant really does have to keep hold of. Yes, it is certain that God keeps his promises. But being certain of your interpretation of God's promises is a different thing, because it means being certain of something that you have done, certain of your own achievement as an interpreter. But it also means you end up disguising your own achievement as an interpreter, because, you know, human interpretation is fallible. And therefore, you're going to have to disguise the fact that you're actually interpreting the text. You're going to have to say, oh, I'm the other guy's interpreting the text, and that's uncertain. I'm just reading the text. It's clearly, this is what God's word says. So it's their human interpretation against God's word. Right? My active interpretation sort of disappears. I'm no longer interpreting at all. They're the ones who are interpreting, because interpretation, after all, is uncertain. This puts all sorts of pressures on the Protestant doctrine of the Scriptures. The clarity of Scripture, which Luther insists on, which is originally a doctrine about interpretation, becomes a doctrine that denies that we're really interpreting, in effect. Right? That's the actual effect of it in later Protestant doctrines of Scripture. It makes it difficult for Protestants to admit that their interpretive judgments come from a distinctive theological tradition, because, of course, traditions are also human. Right? Traditions don't come straight out of the Scripture. They're a human thing. And if your interpretation comes from a tradition, then it must be human. It must be uncertain, which is true. The clarity of Scripture is a good way of getting at this issue. The clarity of Scripture means that, in some way, the meaning of Scripture is obvious. Well, that does happen. There's lots of texts whose meaning is obvious, right, to anyone who knows the language. But obviousness, I think, is relative to tradition. What I'm getting at is, what's obvious to one person is not obvious to another, and that depends on what you know, your skills, your training. What's obvious to someone who reads Hebrew is totally opaque to me. I can open up a Hebrew volume and I can't understand it at all. But if you know Hebrew, it may be obvious what it says. Right? You know the language, you have the skill, it's obvious. There are things that are obvious to an expert that are not obvious to a novice, like the example I gave earlier of a car mechanic who can listen to my car for 5 seconds and it's obvious what's wrong because he knows. He's an expert. I don't know. It's not obvious to me. So what's obvious to you in the interpretation of Scripture depends on what tradition you're from. Certain things will be obvious to Catholics. Other things will be obvious to Protestants. Other things will be obvious to academic experts in biblical studies. Right? Rival traditions produce rival senses of what is obvious and clear. That's predictable. And the problem that Protestants have in the modern world, as we get into the world of modern biblical scholarship, especially in the 19th century, is that Protestantism isn't good at recognizing that there is a Protestant tradition. Right? That's something Catholics are very good at. They know that there's a Catholic tradition. Protestants often don't know that they're part of a tradition. That's a characteristic feature of modernity, I think. Right? Modernity is full of traditions that don't recognize that they're traditions. Indeed, modernity itself is a tradition that doesn't recognize that it's a tradition. Protestantism is the first of these many modern traditions that don't recognize they're a tradition, and therefore can't really negotiate the argument about interpretation in an intelligent way, it seems to me. What a Protestant will tend to do in response to the 19th century historical critical movement is to say, oh, well, that's all human interpretation, but I'm just reading the obvious, clear, literal sense of Scripture. And that's the move that gets you fundamentalism. This 19th century movement of historical critical scholarship, which is still with us, creates, therefore, a great epistemological crisis of Protestantism. And it pushes some Protestants in a very individualistic direction, as if, oh, I don't need to know anything about scholarship. I just need my heart and the Holy Spirit and my Bible, and therefore I can be certain of what God is speaking to my heart. Right? And that really means, from a Lutheran perspective, that you're going in this spiritualistic route that Karlstadt goes in, where it's spirit and not word. That's a result that Luther did not intend. To get an intelligent theological argument about traditions, you need to recognize it's one tradition arguing with another. There's not certainty here. You don't get certainty by going deep into your heart. There's just God's word, and you're going to have to argue about it, and that argument's going to be ongoing. We'll talk about that in the next lecture, too.